I'm just gonna not say anything, just the actual poll.
Just said something.
Yeah, I realize that. the human illness. Knots in my stomach and dust in my eye. I'll cough and I'll love till the... I'll cough and I'll... Sorry, I can't actually read my writing. Knots in my stomach and dust in my eye. I'll cough and I'll work till the day that I die. And because of the users and haters before, I'll think of you fondly if you walk out that door. The smell of your hair and the touch of your skin, the taste of your kisses and your sweetest grin. The taste of your kisses from your sweetest grin. My love knew such freedom, life's sickly joke. Now my heart's hidden, gone up in the smoke. But with you here as witness to illness and life, I'll breathe and I'll love you to spite endless strife. The littlest things are all stone in my brain. I'll sit all alone in such beautiful pain. But if you'll sit here with me, if just for a while, I feel I could manage at least one little smile.
This one is titled Distraction. Distraction, the mud that has me stuck. My intentions have lost traction. A flood of procrastination drowning constructive action. But this article looks like food for thought. I swear it's the last cat video. Distraction, the trickster we all love to play with.
Broken relationships make the best material, right? Before it unravels, I unpick the threads, feel my way back from the end, along our well-worn pattern. We relish our last days. It feels like I'm trying to save you up in me for later, for when I miss you. On my dark days, you hold me like your baby, like a broken doll. You nurse me back to myself. The shadow of horror is always in me, porcelain skin, fragile to the touch. I try to keep her away, but she's never gone for long. She doesn't want to share me, says I'll be tainted like before. We close up like sun orchids, not knowing how to look at the cold shame that seeps in from another world. Our beginning, the first night I see you, you smile at me with your blue eyes. We're drawn together like stars. You lean in close and sing to me.
I set out to write a poem for each side of Marion Square a long time ago in Dublin, and after I'd written the first one, I mislaid it, lost it, and I didn't seem to be able to go on without that. And So there's only one, and I just rediscovered it there recently and thought it could be brushed up a little. It goes back to a very long time ago. Marion Square South. Billy Wicklow stood in splendid blue-green tweeds in the library overlooking the square. I quarried commentaries in a dim recess. He addressed the librarian in a loud voice on anything that took his fancy. Edward Longford was Silchester when he was beaten. There was naturally in their conversation. A layer of dust settled unnoticed. Of Goodyear of Bombay, he opined, an unfortunate name for the bishop, an archbishop. His own books carried on the title page, translated from the French by the Earl of Wicklow, appropriate devoirs for a hard-up peer. The green rectangle beyond the windows and oasis were keyholders belonged to the archbishop. On the plans for the new cathedral, a sandy brown parvis faced the National Gallery of Ireland.
Elisa, on being like an old, Michelle Gaist, to say kind, will look beyond Fiacra, or no Igarash, Bermelat, or Dream Couple, the Trabon, the Blasket Moor, Kinta, Chine.
How would you put on? And this is called Unexploded. Loaded information in my right hand makes no difference, as we found out. The warpath pays itself follow and fire on all cylinders, improving to anger. Loss creeps down my spine. Through my finger, prompting to declare all and eradicate delve. I buried my talent, afraid of retribution. It made no difference in the end. Hurt pride and a bruised ego gobbles up the peace we once shared. Confidentiality aside, over pre-bought pints and public faces. Rolling cigarettes is an acquired joy. The smoking area comfortably lit. Heated discussions abound, secrets ready to explode, say nothing, diffuse all duties. Class go into reverse for the time of year, shadowing the past, a death of sorts. A syringe of truth went very amiss. Side effects hit the fan, mildly saying. Kiss me first, a total safety valve. Historic breakups are no fault of mine. If I say so, which I won't, regrettably I protect my sources. Murdering doubt, shrumptly so. The silent breaks over the chas coffee. Retribution scream hard, an angry alarm. Natural causes no longer an excuse. Wishes of the broken, pulverize your fate. A stone boy with limp to his name. Bought into death, a blindly oblivion. Returning to form with a dream that matters. Thank you.
Thanks, Shirley. This is a short story. Accident at embankment. It was near the end of the shift, 6:30, 6:45. The archers were quiet now. Most of the shift was away home and the night crew hadn't come on yet. I could see Martin Hennessy below at the bottom of the shaft, shirt off, back bent, filling the last bucket with stiff grey London clay. Sligo was beside me, leaning over the rail, awaiting Martin's call to winch up the bucket. A string of bulbs lit the concrete-lined shaft that bottomed out at over 30 metres. We were digging down under Charing Cross Bridge, down through the floodplain gravel of the Thames, and deeper in search of solid footing to hold up a block of offices over Charing Cross Station. Under the vaults it was always dark. In winter it was dark clocking on, and dark when we quit. It was full of blue diesel smoke and the constant tuk-tuk of dumpers and the persistent thunk of a pile driver at the far end. Here and there spotlights were dotted, but only provided partial light, lighting up the ruts, dumper ruts, and the wet mud that glimmered and guided you out, while your eyes adjusted as you approached the bright eye of the bridge. Mud dug out by the spadeful was carted away by the lorry load. The muck wagons reversed in under the arches to be loaded and blocked out the light and pumped in more diesel fumes. Outbound they brought with them on their wheels, mud that stuck to the street and got everywhere. We were mud from head to toe too, all the time, 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. Murphy's men were doing the digging, the green Murphy. I was on direct for Lang. The mud got everywhere. And Saturday evenings I'd just soak in the bath and read the paper and sometimes fall asleep. But oddly too, at this time in the evening, you'd hear the restless coo of a pigeon from the corbels overhead. Hundreds of them lined the nooks and crannies and ledges, anywhere they'd get purchase. The bucket for bringing up the mud was suspended from a winch on a tripod that straddled the shaft head. Martin was trimming off the wall so as the last concrete segment would fit snug, first time. His shout came, up. He tapped the bucket twice with the back of the spade, more out of habit than purpose, and the dull, heavy sound reverberated up the shaft. Sligo pressed the up button on the handheld control and the motor on top of the tripod whirred and the steel cable tightened. It was at about Martin's waist when it slipped. Beside us the tripod strained and jumped on its legs as the laden bucket jerked to a halt at Martin's knees. "Fuck you, Sligo, take it easy," he shouted looking upward. "Hold it there," Martin shouted again once the bucket was above his head. With the bucket off the shaft bottom, Martin had room to work. He disappeared under the bucket and it swung over his head. He cleaned the shaft floor of excess mud, and when that was completed, he gave Sligo the shout. "Take her away, baby." He could relax until Sligo sent down the concrete segment. Martin was burly and sat on his helmet like a prize fighter waiting for the bell, his back against the cool concrete and glistening in the yellow glow of the lights. "I hear the Cats are on top of their game," I shouted down to him, knowing they got a trouncing at the weekend in the league. He knew my voice straight away and didn't even bother to look up. At least there's hope for them yet, not like Leitrim. "When's your next big day?" I shouted. "Sunday fortnight. I'm going home for it too. Tell your man up beside you come and watch a real game, and we'll get a few spuds into him as well, fatten them up." "That'll be Martin. Go home for a league game in the middle of January. Bring Sligo with him and feed him." Sligo was a soccer man, and Martin joked that he was rehabilitating him. Sligo was wiry and lived on cigarettes. He'd worked with them all, as he'd say, and rhymed them off. Wimpy, Lang, O'Rourke, Nuttall, McNichols, the Grey Murphy. He had been on the sights in London since he was 15 and hadn't been back to Ireland until Martin brought him to a Munster final. But he didn't go home. Once his father tracked him down to the Half Moon on Holloway Road, but he snuck out the lounge door. He told me that himself. I'd never seen him finish a breakfast, and Martin used rib him about it. But Martin wouldn't leave anyone else tend him, and Sligo never missed a day for him, no matter how sick he was. "You must be minted," I said, knowing he was on good money. 200 sterling a ring was the rumour, and Martin could do a ring in a 12-hour shift. Dig down, slip in the ring segments and bolt them up. He was the fastest, with his sawn-off spade. "It's a tight squeeze between the mattress and the ceiling now," Sligo put in, referring to Martin's savings. "Where there's muck, there's money," I shouted down. I was winking and laughing at Sligo, who was still bringing up the bucket. "He needs a lather to get into the bed," Sligo prodded. Martin didn't go out much at all, didn't drink, but punctuated his year with trips home and counted down the days. "Fuck off," came the expected response. Sligo picked up a handful of loose gravelly clay and threw it into the shaft, imitating a soldier lobbing a grenade. We waited for the response like a child would wait for the plop of a stone dropped into a well. "Fuck yes," came the reply, slow and drawn out in resignation at Sligo's antics. "And then, Leitrim, tell the Sligo Rose to get that segment down here before I go up and wring his scrawny neck." And if I have to go down to you, young fella, Sligo interjected. You scrawn, Martin shouted back up. That was the type of banter between them, and it could go on all day. Are you not coming up, I said. He'll send the bucket down before we take it off. No, send the section down, it'll be all right, just take it handy. Come up and don't be a bollocks all your life, Sligo said gruffly. Just send the effing thing down, I want home to fuck. Martin, Sligo called, using the name his mother used in a tone that both rebuked and endeared. Send it down, Martin shouted curtly and with a finality. Sligo looked at me and shrugged. We knew it was case closed. Sligo placed a cigarette between his teeth and gave me the buttons. I released more cable as he pulled the hook towards the segment that had a sling on it. Give her a shot, he shouted over the tuk-tuk of a dumper when he had it hooked up. I pressed the up button and nothing happened. Lightly, he said, that thing is fucked. And I got the feel for the dodgy button, and the cable began to retract and drag the segment toward the shaft head. Watch your eyes, Sligo shouted to Martin as the segment swung out over the mouth of the shaft and brought dirt with it. The tripod took the strain. The segment hung balancing on a nylon sling around its middle, swinging, centered on the shaft. Sligo came beside me and took the buttons. I steadied the segment with my hand. It reminded me of a beast being loaded from a curragh to a ship at the Aran Islands, and about the same weight, I thought. 500 weight, 5 bags of cement, a quarter of a ton. All right, lovey, he feigned a cockney accent, alerting Martin that the segment was on the way down. Martin came to his feet, put the hard hat on. The motor whirred and the segment, turning and swaying, started its steady descent. Martin was looking up, watching it. He had turned his hard hat so the peak was at the back and didn't obstruct his vision. Loosen your knots and give me more rope, baby, Martin shouted when it was at about halfway. That's what she said last night. Sligo sung the refrain, keeping focused on the job in hand. Good stuff, keep her coming, Martin called, with about 30 feet to go. He was holding up the spade to guide it away from him when the winch gave and the segment went into free fall. Martin tried to dodge it, but it caught him square on. There was a sound like the sound of a fist hitting a cushion, and a grunt. That's all. Martin was knocked back and pinned beneath it. Fuck, Sligo shouted. Fuck, Martin, Martin. We waited around while the ambulance and the fire brigade and the night shift winched Martin's body up. They changed the winch. I didn't speak to Sligo, and he didn't speak to me. Shackleton, the site manager, bought us tea in the caff, which I didn't drink, and he offered to get us taxis home, but I refused. I didn't want to get home. It was 11 o'clock when I caught the last train. My stop was Ealing Broadway, but I got off at Earlsport and walked. I didn't even know the way, but just followed the train stops and eventually made it home. I didn't sleep that night or the next. Lang sent me out my wages. I never went back to that site and left London soon after. I never spoke to Sligo after that. He didn't even show for the inquest. Shackleton was there though, white as a sheet. A few years later, I happened to meet a fellow on a site in Germany who knew Sligo, and he said he killed himself off a motorbike. Thank you.
Dream I had years ago, and recently went to look it up. I've written it down, but I couldn't find it. So I cheated. I took on a life of its own. Our limbs towering over the squadrons, an atom flash, dreamed not born, muffled in slate dust and honey. You and me, stone deaf in the storm. Busted up shack, cooling sands, then at the river we held hands. And I left you, wandered away in a shrunken, dry fury. The wine refused me. I couldn't swim in the old days.
So next we have a duo up. We have Artem and Philemon.
Hello there. We were here last week, and Yeah, a few nights ago we decided to write something for this week, so we tried to, yeah. But a few poems, we got inspired, and here we go.
Yeah, it's my first poems in English as well, because I used to write poems in Italian, so I don't know what it's like. But, well, I really enjoy your poems so much, I'm like blowing away, wow.
Repetition, scale to supernova, out of loop, boom. Blue, gray, purple, silver, shine on the tonight, today, tomorrow. Skin of leather, fresh and treated raw, brush strokes, velvet, on the land of red for passion. The mother cries for all her children, black at night, whispered to her. To come from place of balance, shining spirits, pain, sing-song, wonder, the antagonist. Supernova explodes, lightning, fresh new watch that might be chaos.
You should sing more songs, stealing poetry from still lives, embracing nightlights on the sunset path, where black crows crows in their nests. You should drink more gold and breathe more pollen in those black and white streets, where kids play to be men and men play to be painted shadows on the concrete walls. You should whisper more dreams to the blind, whisper colors to the deaf, whisper water and wind.
Break rules, transcend, illuminate, the wall is there to separate, cried one-eyed marvel. In the land of the blind, one-eyed man is king. Embrace, harness, sublimate, tree flows up the stream. The one who cried is no longer with us. What shall it be, my mate, my dearest? I fly, I cry, ask my compass. I check my pockets, I listen, no more begin, not to do. Torment, nor contrast, no more heat. White light nor absolute, this, that, no more, no longer. But all is life and all does flow.
Stop the moment, mirror gazes and civil words in your hands. Red as death, tearing out spirit from their shells. Stop the rain, stop the rhythm, stop the banging, defeating sound. Shredding flash on the ground, it's all here to be engrossed. The marching bells, the horror, the dirty soul. Screaming for you, drowning her sorrow in the heavy marble fog. Stop the moment, infinite void, tears melting the mug. Once again, one more time, the first time, the last time.
Venture into space and you will find the infinity. Read books and feel the endless array of human emotion. Study science, divide, separate, destroy, create, on and on. Explore, discover the maps of territory. As a human of their past experience, aware of the stage chaos constructed, undermine, create, destroy, build over the ruins of the future past. The time is up, the time is up. Build atop today, tonight, tomorrow. Too fast for time, too quick this week. Try again tomorrow. Wake up, friend, wake up. Upon the dusk, ripples as the fish returns.
Vive la new bohème, in little glass bowls, spilling wines and hopes on floors and pages. Vive la new bohème, telling story to the sky, for amber horizons to arise. Vive la new bohème, destroying and creating on the tombstones of idols and demons, waiting for another day, waiting for another way. Vive la new bohème, on their horse races, racing storms and fears, blossoming on their numb floor of quiet resignation. With la new bohème, with fragment suns in their eyes, with broken voices, with fire poses, acting ballets, poison bullets, with la new bohème, new as glowing spark, with their glooms and gems. Thank you. Thank you both very much. Hope to hear plenty more of that. Well done. Next up is Max Creedon.
I'm going off back to light now. I'm going to read something very simple and down to earth because it's Irish night. And it's just in celebration of the parish that I grew up on. And all I can say is there's Kjol being some kind to the player. There's music, beautiful, sweet music in the speech and the words. Just as you were saying earlier about your own dialects, we have our own unique one in Chile. And really, in the last week, I met two men, total strangers, never met them in my life, and they reeled off a rhyme, and all I could call them the Donny Litany. They're tremendous. But they knew everything about my line, your line, back along. So there's kind of a rhyme in that as well. So, Tardons and Nahanacha as well. There's kind of dance in the names. So, I'll just start with some of the names I grew up with. And they know and love their pet names, so I'm not offending anyone, but don't record it. Connie the Rock and Connie the Lodge. Mossy Buttermore and Foxy Dan. Kitty Fecky and Dilly Fecky from the Fecky Man. Mary the Chair and Dan the Bomb and his sister with the Bombess. There was Johnny, Timmy, Johnny. And there was John, Minnie, Dan the Bull. And they were all my friends growing up. But anyway, Tom Taylor was the old man. He's coming to me every day and he's a slide in and he's asked me for a pair of bread, a crock of marmalade and an ounce of snuff. But he was perfect insults. They were so poetic because he was an absolute poet. And some night I'd do a whole poem of Tom Taylor's poetry because they were unreal. But if you didn't like someone, the insult he gave one man was, "You've the chest and breast of a maggot and the noble stand of a sod of turf." That was one of Tom's own counts. And he had a lot more where that came from. He had insults at will. So anyway, there was Tom Taylor, and then Dinny Ray, we took him to his first film in the banger of a car, in his car actually. And he said it was a mighty show, but they quenched it too fast. So we got him to see The Great Gatsby. He loved it. So anyway, so there was music anyway. This fella, Donnie shuffled in by the fire. "How are you, cuz?" he winked to me. "And who'd you be now?" I said. "Sure, I'm Di Hurley, but sure we're not connected to them at all." "Oh yeah, you were married in. Your mother was married in." So I said, "Well, what Hurley would you be?" "So, total strangers, absolutely." Well, he says, "Well, no," this is what he said to me. "Well, there's the Randalls, the Dandles, the Dens and the Biddies, the Jeremiah Tates and the Pods, and there's Hurley Shanachran, and there's Hurley's the Lahan, and your many White's brothers went to war in the middle of it all, Mr. Kill." So one came home intact and the other fellow was lashed, and both went to hell in the Dardanelles, fighting for John Bull in Gallipoli. So there you were, two uncles. I said, "That's right, actually, that's true." And he says, "My mother used to say, the blood ran red in the crimson coast, and the trenches came mighty within the week. So there's," he said, "leave my heart in Turin, because I spilled my blood so far. How foolish the young drive to see eternity," he said to me, and I said, "You're right." See, they had a hunger for adventure, and they drained the blood from them. They only met their maker far from home, them lads. So he went off anyway. And then within the week, I met a man from Ballyvourna, and I says, "You're very familiar." And he was the fellow who was in the Top of Coon the time that they opened up the pub again. And he was on CNN, Sky News, and everything with his sheep and his cowboy hat. And he said, "You know," he says, "Russell Brand put me on the 9th chapter of his programme." So he was on Russell Brand as well. He went viral, this guy. But anyway, I didn't know who he was, mad. And he was like something to pick his papers and he had whiskers. And I said, "Gosh," I said, "you're magnificent altogether. Who would you be?" "Oh," he says, "I'm connected up to you." I said, "You are not." He said, "I am." So he started his litany. And I swear to God, I had to write it down. Joe said, "Write it down." So my brother Joe tuned in with him. "Well, there's the mix, the mics, the Mickles, the mic mix." And I said, "What?" He says, "The Mick, Mike, Mickles, and the Mike mix." And he says, "You're one of them five." He said, "The five of them went in and then nestled in under Malachanish." So all of them were nestled into the Malachanish. I said, "God, that's lovely." So that's five generations of my book. They were. And he says, "Hama, the relation of Hirlik." And it's dead right. My father said they came down with the earls, the flight of the earls. "Hama, the relation of Hirlik," he says. "O court, agus, be the crit under an axtorco." The crit under an axtorco was the harp under their elbow, which is true. And I didn't really believe him, but there was five generations of my family harpists. And he said, "They were lackeys to the flight of the earls, Éil Níl and Éil O'Donnell." But then some people said they were called after some other trouble, that was a legend. But he said they came down, he says, with the harps under the axtors, and they dispersed around Munster, and they went looking for work in the courts. And they got one job in Ballymlough, he said. And they got a job out of work over there. So Myrtle Allen actually did bring a copy of a harp to my brother Joe, which was a reproduction. And there was the McGilla girls, and two names were cut into her Oakley Dons. And he was right in everything he was saying.
and the ritual is up in Carlin's barracks in Dublin. So he said, there was two thin Cretans living there in Malachanish next to me. And he said, if you put a fishing rod beside them, you couldn't shoot either the two of them. But they were the only thin Cretans, he says, I ever saw. So he says to me, your father was a monk. I said, you're right. And he says, his brother went in the RAF and he was knocked out in Mesopotamia, which he was. He was shot down in Iraq somewhere. And he says, your uncle Jeremy was stuck off the coast of Malabar. He was quarantined. I said, that's right too. So I said to him at the finish of it, I said, there's music in the names. There's music in the people, there's music in the fields, parking in Uller, parking in the Lower, parking in Nainik, and there's music in the river, Crean and Lee. So I said, there's definitely Isparlan and Chigil near the town of Sweet McCroom, where we have our own little Livery litany. So it seems that's too much.
The dissipation of self. I've left parts of myself all over this town, and I'm not sure the sweat that I spent in cleaning them up was worth the energy it took to generate the sweat. I think next time I will leave them there, untidy and unfinished, but alive. And part ways with bit part definitions of selfhood in the context of a moment, and free my ego from the stranglehold of impression, and comfort my fevered mind without confession. You are not perpetually on view. The eyes you feel are the eyes you use. Gently draw the curtains to the inside margins of the window, the pain the gazes penetrate, and intensify the quality of light pouring through, and inaction dissipate. You are not perpetually on view. The eyes you feel are the eyes you use to create an audience in your head, and with the instincts of performance, keep them well fed on insecurity's fevered breath. Pouring under pressure, raining on a moment to relieve a weight that you convinced yourself was there. Exercise to endure. Filling a sacred space with noise, pouring pretense on the pure. I'm sorry I clouded those clear moments of yours. And though it knows us not, and lives without us, you had input, and I had input. But my input, it won't do. So I'll use my tools to mold satisfaction from an aftermath of discontent. Tools of expression that give hours of labor to tools of retraction. Earfuls of words voiced in a tremble, cigarette butts, empty glasses, footprints on the carpet, handprints on a swinging door, Caesar's thumb on a light switch. Somewhere between open palm and clenched fist, I stumble. I have said nothing, and I am sorry. I apologize, and I have said nothing.
Thank you. Thank you, Jerome. Usually when I'm emceeing, I wouldn't do a poem, but I'm going to do one tonight as a response to something that Africa was saying.
But first of all, I just want to say Gurmina Mahmud Rish Ashtachin Zonocht Afrik Agus Vishishin Gohan Gurmina Mahmud. Fantastic night as usual, brilliant open mic and hyper challenge everything. So I just leave it, this is Don Gael and Thawn, so Tos Nogilish and Agon Gael and Agon Gael. So, Fanna Mala, Tony Woman. Nil Seek on Locht, Is Finchish Gaila e the Oilocht, Bukhur Gadugok Deirdre Earth, and Shah and Locht, Mishig Radrocht, we hold him to the man. The Aig Furkalon gan Vahuchon. Nather, an Rodhager than your Dalvachu, Snakwer and Ruddy Stachert. No Bader, Malcomalat, Fok. Malin, the Ark, Maltoch, Maara. Quirin to me, Mahust. Winin to Diet, the Hula. Winin to Diem, Mohula. Or Skolin, all the Nag Small, Refudna Molly, Probernacha. Lasracha a gluba is a glaba. Bola nidoitochta. Bola nidoitochta. Mokiak fart trihina koshkunna. Er son naman rigloidocha. So she's not going to go in. So, honey woman. Nobody is without fault. Your beauty is terrifying. You should have been named Deirdre. Here tonight I'm ranting about women's rights, your porcelain face emotionless. I just can't tell whether you're statuesque and things run over you, or whether you just don't give a fuck. Your honey gaze melts me, you silence me. You take off your clothes, you take off my clothes. Our sweet shadows swim around flickering walls, flames loop and lick. Smell of burning, smell of burning. My bra catches a candle flame in honor of revolutionary women for us.